Well, I think it's about time we got these Christmas stockings hung up. Santa Claus is going to be here very shortly. Darcy, where are you going to hang your stocking this year?
On the left side of the fireplace green.
And Jimmy, how about you?
Where the fireplace tools are.
Very good. Well, you know, it's 8 o'clock and time for our Christmas Eve radio program. We've got lots to do tonight, so we'd better get started. Are the stockings in place?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, then let's begin. Christmas Eve, 1967, that night of nights, so different from all other nights of the year, and yet in one sense, so much like all other Christmas Eves in the past, filled with all the joy and hope and anticipation of the good things to come on Christmas Day. Each home where Christmas is celebrated is bathed in the warm glow of colored lights dancing on the Christmas tree. The fragrance of bayberry and pine permeate the air. And for some, the flickering light of a warm fire casts dancing shadows on the walls. It's a good time. A family time. Good evening. This is Dick Bertel. And with me to share this Christmas Eve with you are my 8-year-old daughter, Darcy, and my 6-year-old son, Jimmy.
Daddy, you forgot somebody.
I did.
Susan.
Well, that's right. Since our last Christmas Eve program, somebody new has come to live at our house, Susan Amy, age 3 months. We'll meet Susan a little later. This first portion of our program is brought to you once again with the good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company. Well, tonight, Darcy and Jimmy, we're going to spend Christmas in Connecticut. In just a few minutes, we'll visit the home of the great American writer Mark Twain, who lived here in Hartford. And later on, we'll talk with the famous operatic singer, Marian Anderson, who lives in Danbury, Connecticut. But first, let's do some caroling.
Here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling. Here we come, a caroling, upon the leaves so green. Here we come, a wandering so fair to be seen. Love and joy come to you, and to you your carol too. And God bless you and send you a happy new year. May God send you a happy new year.
Here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling.
Here's glad tidings for today, God's messenger has come to make the world one country, the hearts of men as one.
Love and joy come to you,
and to you your carol too. God bless you and send you a happy new year.
May God send you a happy new year.
Here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling, oh, here we come, a caroling.
Citizens of Earth, unite, his teachings are so clear. His story and his message will soon reach every ear. The promise made by Christ and all the holy books before, make heaven on the earth and bring peace forevermore.
Love and joy come to you.
Now a message from Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
It is about this time that the real feeling of Christmas begins to take its strongest hold. The hustle and bustle is over. Shopping is done. On Christmas Eve, when all that remains are the final wrappings of last-minute gifts and the final touches to the tree, you begin to get that warm feeling that seems to be a kind of remembrance of your own childhood. A few of the embers of excitement and anticipation that every child knows well. Christmas is for the child. And on Christmas Eve, the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company reminds us that for tonight, we are all children.
Thank you, Mr. Buds, and we're delighted to be able to share this Christmas Eve, as we have so many others in the past, with all of our friends at the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company, 49 Pearl Street in Hartford. And now, suppose we visit the huge, ornate Victorian mansion shaped like a Mississippi riverboat that was the home of writer Mark Twain or Samuel Clemens and his family on Farmington Avenue in Hartford for so many years. The curator and assistant director of the Mark Twain Memorial is Mrs. Siri Larson. Well, as you can see, Jimmy and Darcy, this house is completely decorated for Christmas, just as it was when the family lived here.
Christmas meant a great deal to the Clemens family, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It was a gay, festive time. Of course, there were three young daughters who enjoyed the visit of Santa Claus and all their lovely gifts, and with this beautiful family tree here in the library and the house all gaily decorated with festoons of greens, wreaths, and garlands. It was, as it is now, a very beautiful Christmas home. The tree, of course, has many old-fashioned, these are really original, not with the Clemens family, but with many of the old families in Hartford, these decorations. And you see they're quite different from the modern ones. There aren't any plastic, for instance. And we cannot have electric lights, of course, since they did not have them, but we do have candles, which we, for safety purposes, never light, of course. But everything around the tree is of the period.
The holly and the ivy, when they are both grown, of all the trees that are in the wood, the holly bears the crown. The rising of the sun and the running of the deer and the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir.
The holly bears a blossom as white as the lily flower, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to be our sweet Savior.
The rising of the sun and the running of the deer and the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir.
The holly bears a berry as red as any blood, and Mary bore sweet Jesus Christ to do for sinners good.
The rising of the sun and the running of the deer and the playing of the merry organ, sweet singing in the choir.
Daddy, the stockings are hung in the fireplace in the hall. Is that where Santa Claus came in?
Santa Claus came down the chimney here in the hallway, and they had their stockings hung there. Of course, there were presents left in the schoolroom on the second floor above the library. There was an instance where the girls mentioned going to bed very early on Christmas Eve, not able to sleep because there was so much commotion going on in the schoolroom. And the next morning, while their parents were still sleeping, they called down to have the nurse make a fire in the schoolroom, and they tiptoed in quietly and discovered that this great thing that they had heard moving around was a beautiful upright piano.
Thank you.
I understand, Mrs. Larson, that Mark Twain wrote a special letter to his children from the Palace of St. Nicholas on the Moon.
Oh, Daddy, may we hear about this letter from Santa Claus?
Oh, this was a very priceless letter. In this letter, Mark Twain said that he had read all the little letters that the girls had written to him. But they did not use the alphabet of grown people. They used characters that children round the world and in the twinkling stars used. I particularly love that. And they requested, of course, many things, as all children do. And so he said he tried very hard to fulfill all their requests. He said there were some things that he hadn't been able to get, and there were things he ran out of stock. And one of the things he said, and I think this is particularly lovely, he said that he had been sent the last kitchen furniture to the little girl on the North Star up beyond the Big Dipper. And he had especially asked the girls to write this little girl after Christmas and tell her that they were glad she had gotten it because she was a poor little girl. And I often think in this period of going to the moon whether they'll find St. Nicholas there.
It seems to me that Santa said he was planning a visit to the children a few days before Christmas to gather further information about the children's wishes.
Oh, please, tell us about that part of the letter.
He said that when he came to the house, he would come to the kitchen door and ring the doorbell, and that George, the butler, you know, who came here to wash windows and stayed 18 years, answered the door. He was to put a blindfold over his eyes and, with the cook, walk out into the dining room. And then the girls were to be up in the nursery, and he would whistle up the speaking tube, and after they heard his whistle, they were to tell him exactly what they wanted on the speaking tube. He also mentioned that there were things that he couldn't take down the chimney in the nursery. He was going to bring some things, but it was a smaller chimney, and therefore he would use the chimney to the main hall. He mentioned, among other things, that when he came in, he would have snow on his feet, and for most of it, George was to wipe it up. He said, not with a broom, but with a cloth. And of course, it's the lovely marble floor. He said, however, if there was one very bad footstep, it was not to be cleaned. It was to be left there. And whenever Susie looked at it, it was to remind her that she must be a good girl.
Well, if the children in the Clemens household were as excited as you two are, I'll bet there was excitement in this house the day before Christmas.
What did the children do on the day before Christmas? Was there anything special?
Well, Clara said that they should have been very tired and ready to go to sleep on Christmas Eve, because the day before Christmas was always spent in such a fatiguing way, as she expressed it, riding around with the coachman while he delivered Christmas packages that went to the poor. She said there were great baskets with the feet of turkeys protruding below the blankets of flowers and fruit, and the children were wrapped in mufflers and snugly packed into fur robes. And, of course, they drove in an open sleigh, tingling with their bells, of course, and it must have been a beautiful day. They would come home at night, and, of course, with the crisp air and the lovely fires going when they came in, the sparkling of the snow, of course, through the windows here in the conservatory. I'm sure that they were sleepy, even though they didn't really enjoy going to bed early that night. But then finally, they would go to bed, and Livy would hurry down into the mahogany room where she would wrap packages halfway into the night.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that Saint Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Ma in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter nap, when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter. I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. The moon on the crest of the new fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below. Then what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and eight tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick. I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick.
Must be Saint Nick.
A round little face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work. He filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose, then giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to the team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down on a thistle. But I heard him explain as he drove out of sight, Merry Christmas to all. Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas to all.
And to all.
And to all. A good night.
Daddy, how did Mark Twain and his family spend Christmas Day? Do they have many friends here?
Well, Nook Farm, of course, was a very social area, as well as literary, as you know. And later in the day on Christmas, they would call at one another's homes. Mark Twain and his Livy slept later than the girls, and as I told you, the girls could go into the schoolroom and open the packages that were there before their parents were awake. And then they would all come down to the main hall and open the packages there where we have the stockings hanging. And after that, the families in the area would start calling. It was I'm sure that they would serve libations of some kind and that there would be much good conversation, as one can imagine in this house. But probably they played the lovely music box, because it was always kept in the hallway, and George would have to keep winding it so that it could go on and on.
And now, once again, here is Mr. William Buds, president of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
Nearly 2,000 years ago, on this night, a child was born who changed the course of mankind. In a short span of life on Earth, he taught that all men are brothers and that we must love one another as brothers. On Christmas Eve of 1967, the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company feels more strongly than ever that we should remember those Christian teachings. As we wish each other a joyous Christmas and a peaceful New Year.
Daddy, was Mark Twain a good father to his children?
Well, what do you mean, Darcy?
Did he love them and was he close to them?
Oh, he was. He was a man who worshipped his family. I think probably the girls, Susie, Clara, and Jean, grew up in the most loving of homes. Oh, yes, he was a very loving man, proud of his children, and I am certain that this was a household of just love.
Friendship is a holly tree that brightens as it grows. Friendship is a holly tree, but love is a Christmas rose. Romance is the mistletoe that from the ceiling glows. Romance is the mistletoe, but love is a Christmas rose. With this rose I give you on this Christmas day, can't you see, my darling, what my heart has tried so hard to say? Friendship is a holly tree that brightens as it grows. Friendship is a holly tree, but love is a Christmas rose. From the ceiling glows. Romance is the mistletoe, but love is a Christmas rose. Love is a Christmas rose. Love is a Christmas rose.
Our thanks to Mrs. Siri Larson, curator of the Mark Twain Memorial, for letting us visit with her tonight. This first portion of Christmas in Connecticut has been brought to you with the compliments and good wishes of the Charter Oak Bank and Trust Company.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
This portion of Christmas in Connecticut is brought to you by the Hartford Insurance Group. Well, it's 8:30, and in just a few minutes we'll meet one of America's greatest singers who lives in Danbury, Connecticut, Miss Marian Anderson.
Daddy, you promised us earlier that you'd introduce Susan.
Well, all right. Jimmy, suppose you do the honors.
Thank you, Daddy. Now, everybody, there's my new sister, Susan. Susan, say hi.
Hi.
Well, how do you like being on the program with us, Susan?
Yeah,
she's a young lady of very few words.
Daddy, let's let Susan introduce the next song.
Well, Jimmy, Susan's only 3 months old.
Oh, please, Daddy.
Well, all right. Susan, what's our next song going to be?
Daddy, I didn't understand anything she said.
Well, I don't think anybody else did either, Jimmy. You know, I think we'd better put Susan away until next year.
Yeah.
Then we'll try again.
Yeah. Daddy, would you tell us about Christmas, about what it means?
Well, that's a big assignment, Darcy. Let's see. What is Christmas? Christmas is, well, here. I think I can explain it better with music.
Christmas is memories, the kind you always need. Thank you. is sherry. Christmas is holly. Christmas is
merry. And now, Jimmy and Darcy, let's meet our very special guest, a musical legend to millions of people across the world, Miss Marian Anderson.
Miss Anderson's picture is in Washington, isn't it, Daddy?
Yes, Darcy, in a huge mural in the Department of the Interior in Washington, commemorating her Easter Sunday concert back in 1939, where 75,000 people gathered to hear her sing at the Lincoln Memorial.
Daddy, what Christmas did she remember as a little girl?
The Christmas that I think of particularly was a sad one. But I can tell you of a very lovely Christmas. It had nothing to do with my being a youngster. It was some years ago in Sweden, and we went to a place called Dalarna. It was a suburb, probably, of Stockholm. And the beautiful lake there was frozen quite hard, and there were holes at different places made in the ice where men would come and put down their rods and fish. During the afternoon of that day when I first saw that, the manager and his wife, who had taken me there for the vacation, Christmas vacation, said there's going to be a sleigh ride tomorrow. It was going to be Christmas Eve. And five other hotels around were sending out their people also for sleigh ride. And without any exaggeration, when the sleighs came together, there must have been at least 20 of them. So we all four sat in the sleigh, all four, meaning four people in each sleigh, two facing each other. And we went through the woods, perfectly gorgeous, and a lot of snow on the ground. And halfway the trip, we reached an old house in which there was a fireplace large enough to be stood in. And there was a roaring fire in it. And the people took their boots off, the women most particularly, and toasted their toes. And they were given a hot drink of red wine that was spiced with cloves and all sorts of things. And then you stayed there for a while and you got back in your sleigh and started off to the hotel. And on the way, as it got dark, there were two men on either side of the road. We were slow at that particular point, and they had in their hands bunches of fat pine. And each person was given a bunch of this fat pine. And a little farther along the way, there was a man who would light it. And it seems to me that the foreigners were put probably in the center of this array of sleighs, so that you could see the front of the line and the very back of it, and the serpentine way that it was going through the woods. It was a thrill. It was a sight that one will never forget. And when anybody speaks to me of Christmas, this picture comes in my mind right away.
Going onward through the night. Hey, oh, la. Hey.
carols Miss Anderson has sung. Which is her favorite?
Oh, Noel, probably. I seldom listen to our recordings, and I don't really know what we have recorded so far as Christmas music is concerned. But I know that we have done very often the Noel. And some of the others that you hear done around by groups of people who come serenading on Christmas Eve, the very simple ones, which are very lovely.
This portion of Christmas in Connecticut is being brought to you by the Hartford Insurance Group.
Daddy, tell me about Marian Anderson as a little girl. Where was she born?
Well, Darcy, Marian Anderson was born and reared with her two sisters in the city of Philadelphia. Her father sold ice and coal. After his death, Mrs. Anna Anderson, a school teacher from Lynchburg, Virginia, became the family's sole support.
Daddy, when did she start to think so people could hear her?
Well, that's difficult to say. What the first time we knew of anything being written about an appearance which we were to give was on an occasion when I was going to the store to buy bread for my mother, and I saw a handbill was lying on the street, and beyond it was a man with many papers in his hand. And something caught my eye, and I looked again at this handbill, and the likeness there resembled me somewhat. So I picked it up, and there it was. Come here, the baby contralto, Marian Anderson, 10 years old. I happened to be 8 at the time. But of course, immediately reading this, I forgot completely what my mother had sent me to the store to purchase. And I went back home with potatoes instead of bread, and I was roundly taken care of and had to go back and get the bread. But that was the very first time that I knew that anywhere anything was written about an appearance that we might make. And this had been done by my aunt, who was very much interested in a young man who was trying to build a church. And he was having a concert with several other people. And we attended this, and he did later on, I'm happy to say, have his own church.
Let dreams of glory son, the gift of peace shall bring the world his praise shall truly sing. Gracious Mary, mother to be,
Church have always been important to Miss Anderson throughout her life, haven't they, Daddy?
Yes, from the age of 6, probably even younger than that. But I'm very aware with the period of 6 years old on, because in 6 years old, we joined the children's choir. And that was quite an aggregation of young people, probably to 40 or 50 of them. And ages probably from about 6 to 15 or 16. And it became very well known through the years. And when I left the children's choir, I must already have been about 20.
Thank you.
This portion of the program is being brought to you by the staff of the Hartford Insurance Group. From high atop the Hartford building on the home office grounds of the Hartford Insurance Group on Asylum Avenue, a huge evergreen tree bedecked with bright Christmas lights serves as a colorful holiday greeting to neighbors in the greater Hartford area. We hope that, like this program, it brings you pleasure and a sense of happiness in this, the happiest of seasons. And now, on behalf of the staff of the Hartford Insurance Group, this is Dick Bertel wishing you a very happy holiday season from the Hartford.
Christmas means something special to every person, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Darcy.
Then what does Christmas mean to Miss Anderson?
Well, Christmas has meant to me the joy that we have known of being with each other, reinforced by the spirit that is Christmas. With a mother and two sisters and a nephew, the four of us who had been so long together. And having lost my mother about 3 years ago and a sister about a year and a half ago, Christmas is a little bit different to what it had been before. But we find that the love that we had for the other two that are gone is now heaped more highly upon those who still live. And so it is a getting together. It is a deeper understanding than we've ever known before that we want to share with each other. And I also think of Christmas as being a time when people might think of others who are not so fortunate as they. And I only would hope, too, that the spirit of Christmas could last a little longer in the hearts of men than maybe the day or two before or the week or two before and then a few days after the new year has passed. Because whatever makes you more warm and more understanding about a thing at Christmas time doesn't mean that you have licked it, so to speak, if you have been susceptible to it for 2 or 3 weeks. It will go on, unless one is dedicated toward doing something about it, because we are, after all, our brother's keeper.
Tell me, did you enjoy meeting Marian Anderson tonight?
Yes.
How about wishing our radio friends a Merry Christmas, Jimmy?
Merry Christmas.
Darcy, how about you?
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And now, on behalf of the Hartford Insurance Group, this is Dick Bertel wishing the very best of this holiday season to each and every one of you, from our house to your house.